Coming to you from the Morningstar Mission sponsored studio, this is Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, top of the morning to you. Ba-ba-da-boo, ba-ba-ba-doo. You know
so
why
nice
I'm singing
today.
This morning? Yeah, it's so beautiful out there.
Yeah.
Scooby-dee-dooby-dooby-doo.
Nice.
I'm going to take my boogie board and you. We're going to go to the beach and we're going to play today. Yabba-dabba-doo. There we go.
Okay, thanks.
Welcome and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Have you ever heard the song, you. I'm a Scat Man?
No, play it.
It's so
Sing
good.
It. Give it to me a little. Give it a little bit.
Wait. Okay. Go ahead. Sing.
No, I don't want
to
scat.
That's
ready,
a tough
set,
one to
sing.
Kind of. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I haven't heard
it. We can play it sometime.
In.
No. Give us a little bit of it.
Why?
Come on. Just a little bit.
Why?
Okay.
Yeah. Turn this down so we can hear only Jonathan.
Yep. Only Jonathan.
I have heard it.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I'm a scat man.
See,
that was
pretty good. Kind of fun.
Yeah, that's a great
you
song.
Know it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I didn't know I knew it.
You should start the morning show every time like that.
No. It's called I'm a Scat.
How about no?
Okay. Well, it's better than shoo-bop-a-doo.
Well, do you want
to poop-a-doo?
You know what? If you wanted to sing something,
yeah.
You could sing Happy Birthday to Jonathan.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jonathan.
Wow.
That's my favorite
Happy
part.
Birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Thank Woo! You so
Happy
much.
Happy birthday,
everybody.
Young Thunder.
Thank what, you
By the way, what's
much.
With the Greeks doing cha-cha-cha at all these?
Was
what?
It,
no.
It did not come from the Greeks.
Thank you. I definitely don't think that's a Greek thing.
I think it came from elementary school.
Yeah.
It's how my kids sing Happy yep. Birthday.
They do that too?
With the cha-cha-cha
oh,
between
yeah.
each
line. Cha-cha-cha.
Drives
kids
me nuts.
Love kids love it.
Yeah, it drives me nuts,
Ooh,
too.
Ooh, la, la. Pizza. Huh.
Scooby-Doo on Channel 2.
Okay. Anyways,
Nothing
happy birthday,
Elementary
Jonathan.
School editions.
Yeah.
26 okay. years young today.
Right.
Give it up, people, Woo! Right now.
Hello. Amazing.
Come on. I was...
How do you feel? Remember
yeah,
SpongeBob?
Yeah, how do you feel
I
for
feel
being...
pretty good.
Okay.
For 26.
I was
just checking.
I was at the young, ripe age of 21 when I started working
Aww.
On this show.
Oh,
and
man.
I had like just turned 21 when I had started on this show.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Thankful to
That's
have been
amazing.
Here through all the
okay,
years.
Okay, on that note,
through all the years.
Yeah, he couldn't grow facial hair when he started here. Now he can do a full blown beard.
I can get
26 years
a
old.
A little stubble.
He's gotten, I mean, when he started, he was single, he was dating, but he was single, he was unmarried, and now he's a married guy.
That's right. For almost 3 years.
Has
3 years at the end of this month.
Has a dog.
Had a dog.
How's that dog doing?
Doing really good.
Aw.
Yeah. Had him for about 7 months.
Time flies.
Yeah. That's craziness.
Coming up, we're going to talk about time flying, but let me tell you, or a good birthday, dude. I really mean that. We're grateful for having you here.
Thank
we really
you so
are.
Much.
Very. Mm-hmm.
Grateful to be here.
Okay, coming up, we're going to tackle one because if there's something that we need to do as we move through the years, it is this. What is it? Hang on.
Talking about Jesus and having fun while doing it. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Day 2 of 12 Days of Christmas. If you missed it yesterday, we opened our first gift live on air and on Facebook Live for a call-in winner and an online winner who got the same prize. If you want to make sure that you are eligible, go online to carlandcrew.org, carlandcrew.org, and then be listening today in the 8 o'clock hour when we unwrap our next gift.
What would it be like for you to beat sin? To get a win over that one area of your life that keeps holding you every part of you down. I know you have moments of deep personal resolve and confidence that sounds like this. I'm going to beat it this time. But then it's back again, sometimes with more force than before. That's a very real plight for almost everyone listening.
Yeah. And you probably, as you're listening, there's probably something that comes into your mind that you think about. That's the thing that you have battled off and on. Maybe you've gotten a little bit of victory here and there, but you just can't seem to get over the hump.
And here's the crazy, I used to call it dirty little secret. Let's not do that. That almost sounds weird. Here's the thing that is happening often in the church, but we don't want to admit it. Ready for this? I'm going to say it. We're getting killed by the very things we claim to hate.
Yeah.
We're getting killed by the very things we claim to hate.
Yeah, that's hard.
That's hard to hear, but it's really true. Why kill sin? Let's go there.
So that it doesn't kill you. I mean, we've seen the destructiveness of sin. Sin always promises up front pleasure or removal of pain or any number of things, but there's it always fails to deliver and then leaves us way worse off.
Big time.
And it doesn't just affect us personally. It affects our relationships and everyone around us when we don't kill sin.
You are so right about that, Sputnik.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. It just, you know, it's not all about us. Our sin has an effect on everybody around us, and we got to be selfless.
Totally. What do you say,
Sue? Well, not only affecting our relationships around us, but our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whoo, talk about a rift.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this here before. It's a tough one to hear, but there's some things that in our life that are going on that actually freezes out us out of communication with God.
Yeah, it's true.
So Jesus says some strident words here. But before we even get into that, I want to talk a little bit about something kind of fun here. What do we normally do with sin that enslaves us when we don't go God's way? We'll get into that plan of killing sin because that's what we're talking about today. But what do we try to do with it?
Hide it.
Yeah, hide it's a big one. We try to hide it. Manage. How does that work, by the way?
It doesn't. Well.
By the way, hiding, I think you can hide sin for a time. Your sins will always find you out. Mm-hmm. I learned that as a little kid. I don't know how in the world my parents knew that. But, man, when I was playing fast and loose with the facts on something, they sniffed that thing out all the time. Learned that early on.
That's funny.
But every time we try to hide it, it just brings more shame.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Rationalize it.
Yeah. Talk your way through it.
It's not that bad.
Sure.
I mean, there's worse things, right?
Yeah.
At least I'm not doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comparison.
Yeah. That's big.
Lower the bar to make ourselves feel better.
Oh, now you're getting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, here's what we can do. We can look at our sin and then feel grief over it and then go, and it's this subconscious conversation we have with ourselves that all of a sudden brings our sin down to the point where I think I'm doing better than most people.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think I'm doing better than most.
Yeah.
Better than most is deadly. Deadliest words you can say. Okay. We know we got to kill sin in our life.
Right.
In fact, it's stated over and over and over again in Scripture. In fact, in Romans, we find the need to put sin to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says over and over again, starting in the Sermon on the Mount, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, what was he saying? Well, we'll get into that straight ahead. How to kill sin, three key things. The first one coming up straight ahead.
Go back and listen to your favorite episodes with the Carl and Crew Showcast. Just text SHOW to 312-274-9624.
All right, guys, we're tackling it here. Let's jump right in it. We're talking about getting freed from a self-led, self-help life. And if there's one thing that will never work when it comes to sin in our life, it's a self-help approach to sin.
True.
It ain't gonna work.
Been there, done that.
Oh!
Oh, man.
You can get yourself to church, but you can't get yourself off your addictions.
True.
You can get yourself to Bible study, but you can't get yourself off of that sin that has you by the throat.
Yeah.
You can't. You can get yourself to do all kinds of religious stuff, but only God can get that sin killed in your life. That's a fact. I know that for a fact. Trust me, I'm the poster boy for this. Are you kidding me?
So what's the answer?
That's the question. What's the answer? You know, I think we look at Scripture and we see some, we look at repeated themes over and over again in Scripture, and we never stop to go, whoa, there are some repeated themes over and over in Scripture.
Yeah.
Well, here's a classic example. So I'm going to give you the first of three incredible tools to put sin to death. And I promise you, by the time we get done with all three of these, you're going to go, wow, I've maybe done one partially. Hmm. You put all three of these together, I promise you, it's going to kill that thing. I promise you this. Talked to a guy yesterday about this. He said, I did one out of the three my whole life long. I've never done the other two until now, and I'm finally getting victory.
Wow.
So here we go. Number one, you got to expose it. Let me tell you something. If you keep that sin in the shadows or in the dark or hidden from God and others, that sucker's going to grow like bad mushrooms. It's going to grow. Look at this text. Do you have it handy?
Yep. This is 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
When you think about exposing it, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I got to bring this out into the open. I want to give you some hope here. It's something that I wrote in a book that's coming out in January. I want to tell you that my take on this is that there's three things that happen when you expose sin that will help encourage you. Because I think if you think about exposing sin, you're instantly think about shame, embarrassment, credibility, right? Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Let me give you the three. I think the cleansing process begins, and it begins to be thorough. There's something disinfecting about the light of truth, right?
Yeah.
It just is good. Do you know that one of the best ways to sanitize blankets and pillows is to take them out in the sun?
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Fact. Absolute fact. One of the best ways to sanitize anything is to get some sun on it. You know, the best way to prevent certain cancers is sunshine. It's a fact.
Wow.
Sunshine is a phenomenal disinfectant. So here's the second thing. When you expose it in a group of people that have that shared value, you realize you're not alone and you're not the only one. And you go, Shazam, there's other people that are screwed up with sin, just like me. And by the way, for half of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
A little bit more
than
half.
That's not the translation I've read.
Well, what
you is
read?
That?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes. That's Romans
3:23. Thank you. So that's vital. The third point here is you live in authentic community and are freed from shame and isolation. I really believe this. If you can have, I'm with a group of guys right now, everybody is laying it out there. And no one's, when everybody lays it out there, it's like, well, we all got it out there.
Yeah.
It's all right. Everybody put their chips in the middle of the table. It's beautiful. Unbelievable. What keeps us from doing this? What
pride.
Keeps us from exposing it?
Us. I think the pride of, that's tough to let people in on that.
It is. It's hard.
So what is the right kind of exposure look like? I mean, there are some ways to do this that are full of wisdom. And then there are some unwise ways to expose your sin.
Yeah, this is good. Let me hit this one quickly right now, because this is important. And we took 70 people through a lot of the stuff that we're going through right now for these 2 weeks, Boom Crew, in our church. And make sure that you ask this every hour, Allie. Because this is important.
Okay.
Do not hang it out with a group of people until you have grown to trust them enough and you give them proportionally to how much that trust has grown. You can discern that pretty quickly. You'll know if it's a safe place to share. But do not just run out there willy-nilly and throw it out. That's called casting pearls before pigs when you get it in front of the wrong people.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. But you do want to get to the point. Our problem is not, we fall off on two ends of this high ridge as well, two sides. But we fall off more on not sharing than sharing too fully.
You think so?
Most of us do.
Yeah.
I think so. When I look at the church, I see inappropriate sharing at times. I was in a student government chapel one time, and a guy got up and he shared something, and it was so over the top, insane. I'm like, no emotional intelligence here at all, and I didn't even know the term emotional intelligence. And a prof got up afterwards and said, you know what? Private sins are for private confession. Public sins are for public confession. And he just brought some real, all right, good. Let's not have this happen anymore. But for every person that gets up and shares way too much, I think there's 10 that are sharing far too little. That's, again, that's anecdotal. I can't say anything except that I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
And a man. and I just know human nature.
Yeah.
It's easy to hide this stuff because it's, you said it at the start, it's embarrassing.
You don't really want people to see that part of you.
Until you're so confident in Christ, so filled with him, that you're willing to do it. Okay, coming up. So expose it is one. If you stop there, there would be no hope. So let me add that too.
Yeah.
By the way, if all you do just come into an accountability group to say, yeah, I slipped and fell again. I blew it again. I fell in the trench of sin.
See you next week.
Yeah. But
thank you. Where's the cookies and coffee?
Oh, man.
Some men's accountability groups, can't speak for women. Some men's accountability groups are just like that.
So are women.
Every week they come back sharing where they fell in the ditch again. Oh, we're sorry, dude. All right. Well, let's get them this next week. Next week. Yeah, I fell in the ditch again. So there's got to be something more than that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's quit falling in the ditch and confessing it.
Right.
Let's take something else. That's coming up straight ahead.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
We got to kill what's killing us. Hey, welcome, guys. This is Carl and Crew Mornings, helping you take your next step with Jesus. We're talking all week long and next week about how to get over this self-led life. And nothing exposes self-leadership more than sin that grows in us. And I'm not talking, let's be very careful here. We're all going to sin. We're all going to make missteps. I'm talking about that awareness of things in our life that are beginning to get a stronghold that we've got to get out of here. When Jesus says, get that, gouge the eye out if it's causing you to sin, he's saying that thing that has gotten rooted in you, boy, you got to deal with that because you don't want that to live in your life. So we've already covered one of three great transcendent truths in Scripture. One is expose it, bring it into the light. It's so disinfecting to let someone else know. By the way, one of the greatest reliefs going is if you're living with a secret sin and you've got a trusted friend you can confess it to, man, oh man, it's free. Woo! Freedom! On the way.
Wow.
But it's really true.
There is truth to that. I've experienced in my life things that I've wanted to hide, but when I've brought them forward, you can almost literally feel it shrivel up.
Yep.
Like under the sun. It's like taking a grape and just throwing out in the sunlight and letting it become a raisin.
Ooh,
like,
what a picture.
Yeah. Wow.
No, that's exactly right. But again, what we've been talking about this morning is, do you want to just expose it and leave it out?
No. Right.
You want to do something more than that.
There.
So here we go. Check this out. Attack it. This is going back to what Jesus said. Matthew 18:8-9. And I want you to write this down, Boom Crew. Matthew 18:8-9. I want you to think about this. Listen to what Jesus said.
And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire.
I'm just going to let that sit there for a second. That's a pretty heavy-duty passage, isn't
it? Yes.
And here's what Jesus is doing. He's using hyperbole to explain not someone's necessary spiritual condition, not saying that sin in your life that's persistent is going to send you to hell. He's talking about the juxtaposition between people who are trained in and resistant to dealing with sin and where that's taken them.
Yeah.
Versus don't live like that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the point. Yes, you expose it. But secondly, you've got to attack it.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus is saying. He's take extreme measures to deal with the sin that's killing you.
Right. He's not saying literally cut your arm off if your arm's causing you to sin. But let's move into, I don't know, a reasonable example. Say your struggle is with alcohol. Parties with friends, you don't have to have alcohol at those parties, but you know that those parties are a trigger for you.
Yep.
And so the extreme measure is to say, I got to get those parties out of my life because I know I will not be able to say no to alcohol if I go to that.
Boom.
That's an extreme measure that you can cut out of your life.
Let me give you a Piper quote here, and then I'm going to give you an illustration that happened that my bride was telling me about that just nails this thing. This is what John Piper said. Until you believe that life is a war, that the stakes are your soul, you will probably just play at Christianity with no blood earnestness and no vigilance and no passion and no wartime mindset.
Wow. Mm.
We got to have a wartime mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to go at this like a battle. In other words, we have to attack it. That's what Jesus was saying. Let me illustrate this. There's so many ways to illustrate it. I was talking to a guy last night, Proverbs 7. I was talking to him about something he's struggling with. No problem sharing this. He's struggling with lust horribly. And he says, and I said, tell me the situation that you're in. And he's going into these compromising situations, and it's kind of feeding that beast. And I said, listen, let me take you to a proverb and encourage your socks off. Proverbs 7 is one of the best passages for this issue going. And by the way, this is not just for men. Hello. I think sometimes we get very, very narrow in our thinking about mm-hmm. these kind of issues, but this is a classic one. Proverbs 7. Let me begin with the end in mind. The end in mind is there's a woman whose husband is away, and she talks him into getting bedded down on her beautiful linens, okay? And you might think, uh-oh, he lost the battle when he said, yeah, I'll go in, rather than, no, I can't do this. No, he didn't lose the battle there. I'll tell you where he lost the battle. Early on in Proverbs 7, I love how the text reads. I looked through the lattice of my windows, and there I saw a young man taking away to her house. He didn't see her. He didn't see the linens. He didn't smell the perfumes. Didn't lay eyes on her. He just took the path that direction, and he knew it. We got to be wise enough to attack it at its source.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go down the path that's going to lead you down that way.
Yeah.
Don't even go there. Let me give you an example. My bride had a good friend who a number of years ago came to her and said, I have got a problem. I am shopping and I can't stop. It's trying to fill the void in my heart and I can't stop myself. And it wasn't big, high dollar things. It was just lots of little stuff. She said, I want to win so badly. And they came up with an agreement. She could not be trusted with herself to have a debit card. She could not be trusted with herself to have a credit card. But she took it a step further, and for a few months, she let her small group see all of her bank records of every account she had.
Wow.
They could see cash withdrawals.
Wow.
They could see money spent and everything. You know what? God gave her the victory over that.
Hmm. Wow. Talk about exposing it and attacking it. That's a twofer right there.
For real.
I mean, isn't that tremendous?
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, you got to have a group you can trust with that, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
I mean, not only do you not want them not stealing your credit card information.
Yeah.
You don't want them shaming you for that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know what? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And there are those kind of people out there that will love you that well. But whatever it is, you've got to expose it and attack it. And guess what? We got a third one from there. You guys ready for it?
Ready, yeah. Yes.
We'll tackle it coming up straight ahead.
Talking about Jesus and having fun while doing it. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
All right, if we want to kill sin, and we certainly do, because if you don't kill sin, talk about a self-led life. Talk about self-help. You're walking around. You are absolutely incapacitated spiritually to take hold of abundant life because you got this big old gnarly thing called sin hanging around you. And all of your self-effort amounts to what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Zilch. So I love this. I love this so much, guys. I love this. Have you ever landed on a truth and you find the answer in Scripture and you're like, man, I can't wait to talk. I'm flipping just pencils little, around.
Yeah,
here.
Hand across the room.
I got to get it back because I always have to hold on to one.
Okay.
Okay.
He's nice. Coming back.
He's got it.
All right, there we go. So I can't be throwing my pencils out of my orbit here.
No, got you got to have them.
So here's the deal, guys. Expose sin clear in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Attack it clear in Scripture. But this one is the kicker. Let me read you this passage. You got it loaded? Galatians 5:16?
Yes. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Watch this. This verse right here is probably the most important verse in all of Scripture for how to deal with sin. More important than attack it. More important than expose it. I mean this, and I'm going to be straight up with you. We are so focused sometimes on sin that we've missed something, and it's the principle of containment. Mm-hmm. This is what God is saying in his word. Galatians 5:16 says, let me give it to you this way. Imagine your life, Allie, could be contained in a 55-gallon drum. Not a life, but one day. Let's say one day in Allie's life is a 55-gallon drum. 55-gallon drum, why do I use that measure? Every steel drum that you see, it's a drum of measure, mm-hmm. is a 55-gallon drum. All those steel drums are 55 gallons. Let's just say that represents one day. And we did this illustration before. You can choose what you put in that day. And if you choose to put the right stuff in that day, it leaves limited space for the wrong stuff to be in that day.
Right.
It's like filling a calendar.
Okay.
God is saying in his word, look at your soul like you do filling a calendar. If you don't want your time to be robbed by other people, what do? You go claim that time, right?
Yeah.
You go fill it up. Mm-hmm. God's saying, if your day and your soul is a 55-gallon drum, don't worry about getting the sin out. Get so much Holy Spirit in, there's no room for sin. That's what he says. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I got to tell you something. That's a promise. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
It goes on in Romans 8:13. I love this verse. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know what it's about? The best defense is a good offense. Load up with Holy Spirit juice.
Overwhelm it. That's the third step to killing sin.
That's the third step. Overwhelm it.
Yeah, I think that if any of us can say when we look back on moments that we've sinned, we can say, yeah, I was not walking in the Spirit at that moment in time. It's not, yeah, I was walking in the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, he just failed me.
That's a phenomenal observation.
Yeah. Like, there. Think back to a moment where you've sinned, and think just a little bit before that period of time where that moment happened. What were you doing? How were you living? What were you thinking?
So I talked to a friend yesterday, and he says, my wife's going through menopause. It's going to drive me to the funny farm. And I don't know what to do sometimes. Hmm. I said, let me tell you what I know you can do for sure. Because I guarantee you, you're driving home, you're opening up the garage, you're walking inside, and you have a mindset of something's coming at me, something's happening, what am I going to do, how am I going to handle this? I said, I want you to stop, be mindful of the Holy Spirit. And before you hit that garage door opener, sit there and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Mm-hmm. Fill me. I'm going to be mindful of you. I don't want fake spirituality to come out of me. I want you to come out of me. I am yielding my body to you to fill up with the Holy Spirit. God, let me just be so overwhelmed by you that there's no room for the bad, in my case, the bad Carl, to come out. I want Spirit coming out of me. The only way to get Spirit out of you is to be filled up. What do we find in Ephesians? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It's all about filling. What are you drinking from? You're drinking from the well of, I need my time here. Mm-hmm. I need my place in this radio show. I tease all the girls around here because they've all got segments. I don't have a segment. You know, I mean, that. How cheesy does that sound, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and Sputnik always says, it's called Carl and Crew. Hello. All right. So, but do you see what I'm trying to drive at, guys?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
It's so easy to live fleshly. And here's what's amazing. If, according to this word, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You ready for this? If you learn to overwhelm sin in your life, you won't have to expose it or attack it near as much anymore.
Wow.
This one gets me so giddy. I'm serious.
And, you know, I like that you, the illustration that you gave with the guy that you said, before you even walk in the house. I mean, that heard a pastor say something to the effect of like that daily dependence on the Holy Spirit gives you that on the spot reliance that you need. Like you won't have, when something hits you at work, you often don't have time to go and take an hour to pray about it.
Right.
Like it's that daily walking by the Spirit that will allow you to, in a moment, react in the way that would be powered by the Spirit.
I'm going to confess to you guys right now, I have failed at this and I've won at this. I've had moments in here where I've had a Y in the road, mindful, and I've mindfully thought, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I kind of get
absolutely.
In the flesh. But I've had moments in here as a team where I've been mindful of, no, man, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And you know what? What comes out of me is so much better.
He threw the pencil again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's so much better.
Yeah. So much better. I mean, it's not even close.
Not even close. Mm-hmm. Coming up, where do we go from here? Some of you are going, yeah, that's the question I've got. We'll tell you about it.
Keep up with the team on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook or Instagram.
If you head there now, you're going to see yesterday's opening of the first gift for 12 Days of Christmas. If you want to be eligible to win today's prize, go to carlandcrew.org. Click on 12 Days of Christmas, fill out the entry form, and be listening in the 8 o'clock hour for your cue to call. Two ways to win every day.
Beautiful. Okay, boy, have we been going. Allie just... I couldn't shut her off. She's so excited about this topic.
Right?
That's what happened.
Yeah, that's definitely what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. I wrote on this.
It's okay.
I've been preaching this. I've been living this.
It's great.
I'm
it's
sorry, great. But it's just flowing out of me.
It happens.
This is one of those topics that if the Lord can really get us to get this,
yeah,
there's so much victory.
Oh, my word.
That is just beyond kind of taking these steps by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Totally. So, Allie's got a question for you. Quick recap. We're killing sin today. We're not doing it in our strength at all. We're taking radical measures. We talked about exposing it, attacking it, and overwhelming it. If you don't have the details on that, we'll have it in the showcast for you. By the way, anytime you want to get a showcast here, it's kind of the best of, all crunched together. Just text word SHOW to 312-274-9624. SHOW. To 312-274-9624. Take it away, though, Allie. You got a thought here.
Yeah, we want to hear from you this morning. So this is what I want you to be thinking about. What is that sin that plagued you for some time? And then I want you to think about what drastic measure did the Lord have you take to really get victory? Now, there's not every story is going to be able to be shared on air, and
No.
We get that, but there are some victory stories that can be shared tastefully, where you can talk about the drastic measure you had to take to really get victory over that sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. What was it?
Love it.
I think for me, I can get us started, just to encourage some
people
prime
the pump.
To
Let's
jump
go.
In as well. Yeah. One of the drastic measures I took to help get rid of my sin was actually jumping into counseling. I did not have a counselor before this period of time, but I have a Christian counselor now, because the sins that we have often have roots of mindsets, kind of like we were talking about yesterday, the mindsets that we have inside us link to what we do. And so that's helped me attack that stuff from a biblical perspective.
You know what? And here's the truth, because some people go, man, I don't know if I got the cheddar for that. There's wise counsel in your church.
Yeah, 100%.
There's wise counsel in your church. And if you can get to a counselor, someone that can sit with you at length, right on. I've had counselors.
Yeah, they're important. They're cool.
I mean, we live in a world today that we just desperately need someone to confide in.
Yes.
Just have to. Hang on. A lot more where that came from coming up.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
So, Carl, what do you say to a married man who's struggling with pornography? Do I confess my sin to God? Is that enough? Maybe a close friend or small group? Or do I need to actually confess to my wife?
Here's my take on this. I would take infidelity at a different level, but I'm going to take the issue of pornography at a very straightforward level. And here's the issue. The issue is not The reason you don't run to your spouse immediately and confess all this stuff is oftentimes that kind of temptation and garbage that you're going through can actually cause her to bear a burden God didn't want her to bear. Okay?
Okay.
Here's the goal. The goal is to get freed from this stuff. So the degree to which you got to get severe on it, I had a wise friend tell me this, Al Hinson. I refer to this guy all the time. He's one that said, knowing the will of God is easy. Knowing the way of God is really difficult. Mm. And I'm like, man, that's true.
Okay.
But he also said this, and I think it's absolutely true. If you can confess something to God and get victory over it, woo, diggity dog, let's go. Because the goal here is victory. The goal here isn't confession. The goal here is victory. So if you can get victory by confessing something to God, go for it. If you need that next layer of men to go to confess it, right on. If it's persistent and you got to bring in more artillery, you go to a wife then and go, I've gone to God, I've gone to my men, and now I'm bringing you in. But I wouldn't bring her in a way that is in any way shaming her. This is where you got to be really wise and thoughtful, because oftentimes a woman will say, well, that's obvious, then I'm not enough. Right. Because that's a danger. This has nothing to do with your wife being enough or not. This has to do with your mind going in a place that it ought not be. My great concern for women hearing this and bearing this burden is that this has nothing to do with them not being sexy enough for their man. This has to do with a man's mind going in a place that he's bought the bait of Satan. So the goal here is to get victory over this thing. And if you can do that by coming clean before the Lord, and by the way, I'd take this in stages. Pornography's kicking your booty. Job one, go before God. It's all over Scripture. Job two, take it and confess your sins to other people.
Expose it. That first one that we're talking about.
Right. And then I would actually go step three, take it before the elders of the church. This is why you got to be in a church. You're trying to do this on an island, you're going to get your booty smoked all the time. And then job three is you may need to bring your spouse into this thing, but even that needs to be done very carefully. I don't have time to flesh that out right now, but the principle is don't shame a wife that has actually no responsibility in this thing. You might say she does, but I happen to know men who, because of physical challenges and mental, I know a man that cared for his wife who had dementia for the last 20 years of her life, and he didn't go out and justify self-gratification. He was holy and righteous before the Lord. So don't tell me that nonsense. That's just you're looking at your navel. You got to grow up.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Well, how do you overcome a self-led life? We'll get back to our topic. But first, let me tell you about 12 Days of Christmas. It's day two. We're going to be opening a gift in this next 8 o'clock hour. Woo! We're going to be opening a gift for a caller. And an online winner is going to get the same prize. So what do you need to do? Well, be listening in the 8 o'clock hour for your cue to call in. But even before then, quickly go to carlandcrew.org, Carl with a K, carlandcrew.org. Click on 12 Days of Christmas, fill out the entry form, and then you're set. One entry covers you for the whole duration of this 12 days. And then you're ready. You got two ways to win every day. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 Days of Christmas.
Pretty cool. Awesome stuff. Well, we're getting phone calls coming in here. This is great. Okay, let's take it. Ali said it. We asked the question, what are you doing to attack it, really kill sin? What are you doing to deal a blow to this besetting sin in your life? Let's go. Let's take it top to bottom here, Ali.
Yeah, let's go to Jerry calling in this morning from Chicago. You had to give something up entirely to attack some sin. Tell us about it.
Yeah, when I first came to Christ, I was a serial dater, and, you know, relationships, men were a weakness, sexual sin, all of that. And the Lord led me with an awesome discipler to just give up dating for a whole year and just spend that year with Jesus. It ended up, I called it dating detox.
Wow.
Yeah, and you didn't miss out on too much, did you? And you got strong in the Lord, Jerry.
Yes, it was amazing. And, even when I dated my now husband, we didn't kiss till our wedding day.
That's wow. Beautiful. I've heard those stories, and that is fantastic, Jerry. Proud of you, sister. Michael in Chicago, what'd you do to deal a blow to sin, man?
Yeah, for me, man, being accountable with my wife and men in the church, but for me, most importantly, I dealt with pornography, and the Lord had to tell me, delete all social media, except for one that I keep for the sake of ministry and church, but I had to go as so far as take and delete, like permanently deactivate all my social media activity, because I understood that, you know, when Jesus gave the parable that our eyes, what we see, our eyes are the light of our body, and that what we see can bring darkness into us. What I was seeing on social media was affecting the way I thought, the way I perceived my wife and others, and then it would cause me to be tempted to want to watch pornography and eventually sin at times. So the Lord said, get rid of it all. Get rid of all, whatever you got to do, cut it at the root so that, you know, I can remain pure and holy and have these thoughts only for my wife.
Beautiful, wow. Michael.
That's awesome.
You know, there's somebody listening to that going, oh, come on. No, listen right now. Arterburn, Steve Arterburn wrote a book, Every Man's Battle. And in it, he proposes something dynamite, and that is eyes bouncing for men, where you look at something, and rather than just lingering there and just lingering there, you do eyes bouncing. But also prescribed in Arterburn's book is try to remove all the stuff where you're, so you're not having to do your eyes bouncing all the time and you're driving off the road. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, come on, try to get some of that stuff out of there. And it doesn't mean that all of it is like rated X. Sometimes it's just kind of like gateway stimuli.
Yeah.
And get the stuff removed if you can. Cool stuff. All right, let's get one more in.
Yeah, the question, what extreme measure did God have you take to attack that sin in your life? Philip from Aurora, give it to us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
what
man.
A powerful, powerful subject. You know something, there's a pastor, I don't even know his name, but he said on that subject, it's not in the glance, it's in the gaze. Mm. Not in the glance,
yeah, that's
it's in
a,
the gaze.
That's a powerful way to put that, my brother. That is great.
You know something, man. Ooh. You know, and I told Jonathan this, and you guys know this. Man, I was so stuck in my addiction and in pornography and other addictions that I thought that I could do it on my own. I said, I'm a special addict. I'm a special person. I don't need God. And then all I was doing was going deeper and deeper. And it wasn't enough for me. And I'll say this because we have young years possibly.
Yeah. Good, man.
But you know something, man? When you go past pornography and start living a pornographic lifestyle, that's when God is going to say, okay, enough is enough. You say you're mine. I'm yours. But you're not acting it. Mm-hmm. And what it took for me, Carl and Allie, I had to completely submit. I gave up all of my passwords. I gave up all access privately so that my wife and my accountability brother in my small group, they had that. I put, not coveted eyes, but I put this thing called Funimo on the phone.
So hold on, what's the name of it again? What's the name again, Philip?
It's called Funimo, F-U-N-A-M-O, Funimo.
Okay.
It's like covenant eyes. It's the same thing.
Excellent.
You know, and that was hard for me, man, because as a man, I got all this pride and like, you know, am I being weak? It's like, no, dude, right now you are being a
stronger
man
yes.
than you've ever been.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, my brother. I love you, Philip. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
So much for calling in.
Let's go to Ramon calling in this morning from Morris. What extreme measure, Ramon, did God have you take to really deal with a sin that you were battling?
Yeah, I was in a pretty relationship that was pretty sexually involved. I think it was in the dark. I was living with a very good friend of mine at the time, and I was leaving on the weekends to go and meet with this girl, and I never told him about it. And I remember one day he just sat me down, and I was struck. I couldn't believe, you know, just how confrontational he was. And I still talk about him today to friends of mine, people at church, that he just flat out just said, you know, you make a lot of excuses about living in sin.
Wow. What did that do, Ramon?
That's a friend.
And I was, I mean, and it had to be the right person. And,
yeah.
You know, it couldn't have been anyone else. And I wouldn't have listened to anyone else. You know, and it was one of those things where I immediately stopped. And it was, I was sexually involved with this girl for some time in college. And it was, yeah, it was one of those, it had to be God doing it. Because yes. I don't think anything else would have stopped me. Hmm. So I immediately talked to this girl, had to delete her from my phone. She was very upset, didn't understand. And we never spoke after that. And I just said, God just told me that I can't be involved with you anymore.
That is a good friend. And Ramon said it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a friend. This is so worth talking about.
Mike from Antioch, thanks for calling in this morning. What did God have you do to really deal with some sin?
I had to get rid of Facebook because just the things that were coming across there weren't, I felt in when, you know, the things that I was seeing, not stuff that's normal, just stuff that was like commercials that were leading me astray. And then one of them had a pop-up taking me somewhere that I didn't want to go. But prior to that, I was hearing, you're wasting too much time. You're wasting too much time. And once that came through, I cut it out right away because I know it was wrong. So
That's a courageous thing, Mike. I mean, how sweet is that?
To identify that this is killing time. And it'd be easy to say, well, come on. I mean, being on Facebook certainly isn't sin. God can convict you of things that other people say are not sin.
Big
it may be sin time. For you. Love that.
Big time. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.